Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Scuba Shack Radio, Episode 8, recorded Sunday, June 23rd, 2019. Scuba Shack Radio is a bi-weekly podcast in support of our mission to empower individuals with knowledge, ability, and experience to venture underwater in pursuit of their aspirations and to advocate for ocean health and sustainability. Well, we're officially into summer 2019. And again, thanks for listening to Scuba Shack Radio. I'm your host, Jeff Cinceropino. We just got back this afternoon from our latest open water certification dives up in Jamestown, Rhode Island at Fort Wetherall. And I'd like to offer our congratulations to our six new Scuba Shack divers. They were real happy about the outcome, and we hope to see them all in the water really soon. Conditions up in Fort Wetherall were spectacular this weekend. It was really a great weekend up there. Sun was shining, low humidity, nice breezes, water was calm. And the water is warming up nicely this time of year. I had 65 in the shallow parts of the dives today. And when we got a little bit deeper, I think we were clocking in at around 61 degrees. So getting really nice and warm up here. Earlier this week, we also had the opportunity to attend a PADI update. Our regional representative came up, and we had a couple of hours with him to go over all the good stuff that's happening with PADI. We're real happy about what we heard and are looking forward to 2019 and all the stuff that's happening with PADI. I'm going to start off this week talking a little bit about deep diving. I'm going to talk about deep diving from a recreational perspective. So just what connotates deep diving? According to most of the training organizations, they talk about any dive that goes below 60 feet, and that's considered deep diving. Why is that? You know, I wasn't really sure, so I thought maybe I'd do a little research. And, you know, we know from our open water certification dives that as a basic open water diver, our depth limit is 60 feet. But that doesn't really explain why. So I did some little bit of research, and there's a section in Alex Brilsky's book called The Complete Diver, titled Deep Diving Reexamined. And according to Dr. Brilsky, he talks about what he considers deep diving, and his range is between 50 and 130 feet, or as he likes to describe it, it's the forgotten 50 feet. It really is an interesting little chapter that also discusses some of the things that you got to consider before you determine you're going to go deeper than the 60 feet open water mark. And he talks about things like experience and training. Now I know when I first started diving, I didn't really do a lot of dives that were deep. I think my first dive below 50 feet was dive number 27. And we did that in Hawaii at Mempachi Caves. So I had done a lot, you know, 25, 26 shallow dives all above 50 feet before I ventured any lower. I had also done quite a bit of pool training, you know, having taken peak performance buoyancy classes and some other things. Even still, going deep was different, especially with gas consumption. I burned through my tank really quickly. So why go deeper? I know a lot of our divers like shipwrecks, and many of them are deeper than the 60-foot mark. And also a lot of our divers like to go on a wall and observe all the things that live on the wall. And a lot of the walls are a little bit deeper than the 60-foot mark. There are really a lot of good reasons to venture below 60 feet. I'm going to change it up a little bit, though, from what Dr. Bilski talks about, that range of 80 to 130 feet. And for me, it's a little simpler. My range is 30 feet, and that's between 70 and 100 feet. Why? Well, because that's where I get the maximum benefit from nitrox 32 gas, where I'm controlling both my nitrogen absorption as well as keeping my partial pressure of oxygen within a good range. And most of everything that I want to see is going to be in that 70 to 100 foot mark. When we do our advanced open water training at Dutch Springs in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, we have a spot that we like to go to, a little pit out there, and that pit gets to our divers down to about 90 feet. And 90 feet's a good depth for them. It's cold, but it gives us all the depth experience that we need. So for me, it's the 100-foot limit is where I consider deep diving. Now, the PADI deep diving specialty class is a pretty intense class. It's four deep dives. You have to be an advanced open water diver or adventure diver, and you have to have at least 20 log dives before you can be certified as a PADI deep diver. Again, PADI's looking at making sure you have the experience you need before you venture deep. So get that experience, get that training, make sure you're comfortable before diving deep, make sure you have good buoyancy control, and monitor your gas consumption. Enjoy your dives, and keep it safe if you're going deep. Scuba divers, we get to see a lot of interesting things underwater. And in the 2019 winter and spring edition of Divers Alert Network's Alert Diver magazine, they carried a two-part article that was called Pest Control. And it was written by Ned and Anna Deloach. And pest control is all about cleaning stations. And if you haven't encountered a cleaning station underwater, I hope maybe you'll be on the lookout next time you have the opportunity to spot this activity. And cleaning stations are a classic example of symbiotic mutualism. Both the cleaner and the clients benefit. The clients, the fish that are to be cleaned, kind of perch on these different patches of the reef that are manned by either small fish or shrimp, and these small fish or shrimp eat the parasites off the clients, and there's a lot going on in this relationship, and there's also a lot of studies about the relationship of cleaning stations. In part one of the article, they talk about the blue streak cleaner wrasse in the Indo-Pacific, and they say in that article that a blue streak can have 2,000 client-cleaner interactions in a given day. And I'm not exactly sure what an interaction is, but it sure does sound like a lot. They also pointed out that these parasites get to the fish pretty readily, and they pointed out that they observed one rabbit fish out there visiting a cleaning station 144 times in one day. There's also some discussion around how the cleaners may get a little aggressive sometimes and try and nip at their customers, and that just turns out bad for both. Obviously, the clients might go somewhere else, or in some cases, they might nip back at the cleaning fish. In part two, they discuss the Peterson cleaning shrimp and how they hang out in the tentacles of the corkscrew anemones. And the anemones kind of advertise that it's a service out there. They're also talk about the red snapper shrimp that hang out in the anemones as well, but they engage a little bit differently. The articles are really good, so take a read if you can. They also got me interested in doing a little bit more research, so I went out there and checked around on what was happening, and I came across a March 2018 article in Atlantic Magazine, and it was titled, "The Cleaner Wrasse, a Fish That Makes Other Fish Smarter." Turns out there was a study done when they removed cleaner wrasse from a patch of the Australian reef. I won't go into the details about it, but they tested the damselfish from areas that were cleaned and not cleaned, and it turned out that the fish that were being cleaned by these cleaner fish kind of learned faster. So you can read that article. There's also a lot of other stuff out there. I found a website called the Cleaner Fish Chronicles, and it's documenting a 19-year study that's been ongoing in Australia. And there was also a good article that I found in Caribbean Reef Life blog from December of 2019. So I have links to all those different articles and studies in the show notes. Cleaning stations, just one more thing that we get to experience as scuba divers, the fascinating underwater world. In the last episode, I introduced a recurring segment that I'm going to do here called Sea Hunt, It's Still Alive. And today we're going to start at the end, the final episode of Sea Hunt. And that episode was titled Roundup, and it aired in September 1961, September 23rd. The underwater sequences for this last show were shot in Nassau. Well, not all of them, actually. There was a lot of footage from previous years that was used in this last episode. Mike Nelson had two assignments in this show. The first one, he had to recover some floating bombs inside a shipwreck, put them back into place, and then blow up the ship with the bombs on them. But before he started this, Mike did a little bit of a retrospective on all the explosives he had encountered over the years. Both solid and shaped charges, torpedoes, mines, and something called nitro bombs. And actually, this first job was a repeat from an earlier season, just with a little bit different spin on it. Mike had doubles in this sequence, and you can see him actually switching his reserve air on, pulling back on the lever. And as he's doing this work, he says, well, my number hadn't come up yet. As it always turns out, Mike gets all the bombs back in the rack, and at this point, he's running low on gas, so he has to go back up to the surface. But guess what? There's no more gas on the Coast Guard cutter, but the job still needs to be done. Well, now he does a free dive into the wreck, and as he's going into the wreck, I think there's a nice spotted eagle ray that swims by. He's in the wreck on a free dive, puts the explosive charge in, and gets out, and as he's getting out, obviously, boom, the ship explodes. So job well done. Now, while they're finishing up, the Coast Guard gets a call that from someone that says somebody is going to be planting a bomb in an underwater pipe at a hydroelectric plant. And they say first nitro, now a bomb. One down and one to go. In this one, Mike has triples on, and he's taking a spear gun with him. Not sure why, but he's got that spear gun. And as he gets to the pipe, he finds another diver there alone, so he figures something's wrong, and he wrestles this diver to the surface. And it turns out that the diver is named John Stark, but it's actually Jack Nicholson, and he's a disgruntled employee. And Mike is trying to figure out what's going on. And Jack says a classic line, how many times I got to tell you, there ain't no bomb. Well, Mike finally gets him to tell him that he shot a torpedo into the pipe, and it has a 20-minute timer on it. Mike goes down into the pipe with his triples on, and it's pretty small as he goes inside, but once he gets in there, it must be at least 10 feet around. As he's swimming in, his hose gets caught on one of the instruments in the pipe, and he has to take his triples off, free himself, and he credits the Navy for helping him figuring out things and not panicking. He bumps the torpedo with his head and then disarms it right there, takes it to the surface, and you see the Coast Guard captain then shoot the torpedo, and boom, another bomb goes off. A classic end to a classic episode of Sea Hunt. You know, at the end, Mike comes on as Lloyd Bridges and says, see you again next week. But guess what? Now we know there was no next week for Sea Hunt. It's only destined for reruns. So stay tuned. In the future, we'll do another recurring segment on Sea Hunt. It's still alive. And if you have a special episode that you want me to talk about, let me know. And we'll be back again with another Sea Hunt It's Alive somewhere down the line. Well, that wraps up Episode 8 of Scuba Shack Radio. Hope you enjoyed the show, and thanks for listening. We'll be back again in a couple of weeks with another episode of Scuba Shack Radio. I hope to have some new and different content for you, and if you have any suggestions for me, please let me know. You can get a hold of me through the Scuba Shack Radio website, or if you go to scubashackct.com, there's my weekly blog out there where you're also able to provide me feedback. It's summertime up here in New England. The weather is spectacular now, and we're looking forward to a really happy dive season, and I'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Scuba Shack Radio is a bi-weekly podcast in support of our mission to empower individuals with knowledge, ability, and experience to venture underwater in pursuit of their aspirations and to advocate for ocean health and sustainability. Talk to you next time.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.